Question, just ask one. Yeah.
No jump pass, lah.
Quick. The courage to the top of their cup of water.
In the previous lesson, it was mentioned that the object, when it's divided into object and object possessor, in the previous lesson, when object is divided into object and object possessor, whatever is mine is necessary categorized as object possessor. Whatever is non-mine is categorized as object. So here the notes here says that object possessors are divided into three: person, awareness, and expressive sound. So person and expressive sounds, they are non-mine, and yet they are not object. So where do they? Where are they classified into?
Person and
expressive sound. Yes. They are object possessor, but they are non-mind. So another question is: whatever a subject necessary a consciousness?
So in the twofold division of object and object possessor, the object possessor that is from this twofold division into object and object possessor, then the object possessor is necessarily consciousness. Okay, we then. We are talking about the twofold division of object and object possessor, right? According to that division, object possessor is necessarily consciousness. Okay? Then what about person and expressive sound, which is actually you see there in your notes, right? Where do we put them? Object and expressive sound, if you were to put them within this twofold division into object and object possessor, then it goes under object.
Mm.
So, but if you ask in general, aren't person and expressive sounds are object possessors? If you ask in general, yes, they are object possessors.
Okay? Yeah, all like that.
The subject or the topic that we are looking at here in this module, the presentation of mine, is a challenging topic because we are talking about the mind. So even just to have an idea of the presentation of mind is difficult. Because in general, this is not something that any normal person would pay attention to, isn't it? Yeah. And this is a kind of a new subject for most people, yeah. Okay? So you have to understand that, you know, that whenever we look at the presentation of mind, this subject isn't an easy one. It is not something that can be explained using simple words, and then you expect that, you know, this subject can be explained using simple words, and then you're just hearing that one or two simple words, then you kind of get it, you know. If you're thinking that it can happen, then please realize that it is impossible. I think I mentioned this before. All the various topics and subjects, you know, closely related here. Okay, so what we are learning here, the presentation of mind, is closely related to the topic of on tenets, the next module, Buddhist philosophy. In fact, actually, whatever subject you can name, you know, whether it's the stages of the path to enlightenment, or if you're looking at engaging the bodhisattva deeds, you know, all these topics are interlinked. Yeah. So it is extremely important to understand how a direct perceiver, you know, what is direct perception? When we say we realize something directly, what it means. And it's also extremely important to understand how does the conceptual consciousness understand its object? How does it realize its object? You know? So this is a very important topic, and it is something that we have to continue to learn and to think about to discuss. Yeah.
어떻게 제가 바카존 시바는 시래 바카스나 다 랑센스시 로와 다 랑센스 거야디 다 균센지 카르스나 다 랑센스는데 라는 네 다 랑센스 거야 균센지 가서 왔다 다 랑센스도 거라 다 모보 코랑 다랑지 시 코랑라 변나 코랑의 투모마이 변 오디니 남바수 때투베리 누바디 코랑라 유대시 다 그러바 랑센스도 랑기 모 투모마이 변 남바디 때투베리 누바디 코랑만 유대시
So we talked about specifically characterized phenomenon, isn't it? We talked about it, yeah? Specifically characterized phenomenon. Why is it called a specifically characterized phenomenon in the first place? One of the reasons is this. It is actually referring to a specifically characterized phenomenon's potential to cast an aspect of its uncommon entity or uncommon nature, you know, from its own side. Okay, so a specifically characterized phenomenon refers to any basis, you know, or any object which is a specifically characterized phenomenon as having that potential from its own side to cast an aspect of its uncommon nature. Of course, to the consciousness perceiving it, yeah, right? Yeah, so this is the power of the implication of the word specifically characterized, right? It has from its own side the potential to cast an aspect of its uncommon nature to the consciousness that is perceiving it. Generally characterized phenomenon, on the other hand, is not like that. A generally characterized phenomenon does not have the power from its own side or the potential from its own side to cast an aspect of itself, you know, to the consciousness perceiving it. Rather, you know, the mind is involved. You know, it has to be imputed by mind. So a generally characterized phenomenon can only be known involving the mind imputing it, you know. You remember the definition of generally characterized phenomenon, yeah? Right from lesson 1 and 2, right? So generally characterized phenomenon is that, you know, it doesn't have the ability to cast an aspect of its uncommon nature from its own side, but rather it is something, you know, it is something whose nature is completed, you know, by the mind imputing it.
That's one. That is one. That the citizens do gala, more job of charity, reading all nobody ever. That Louis Pat, that says, job of charity, look, does of chigure. That nonsense do gala, that queen number, Tatan deck, and nobody reading on the yard. The queen in the
So you see there's a difference between a specifically characterized phenomenon and a generally characterized phenomenon. A specifically characterized phenomenon is able to cast an aspect of its uncommon nature from its own side. Yeah? It's able to cast that aspect of itself from its own side to the consciousness perceiving it. Unlike a generally characterized phenomenon. Generally characterized phenomenon cannot cast, does not have the power, the potential to cast that aspect of its uncommon features or entity or nature to the consciousness perceiving it. But rather, you know, the mind has to be involved. The mind has to impute. You know, impute. You know. So in the first place, who memorized the definition of generally characterized phenomenon?
Anyone? Not looking in the text, by heart. Anybody? Anyone?
So while looking at blue, during the time when you are looking at blue, there is a consciousness to which the blue is appearing to, isn't it? Yeah? So during the time when we are looking at blue, during that time, blue is appearing very clearly, isn't it? Right? So, but then if you close your eyes and you try to think of the blue, what appears, what comes to mind? So when we close our eyes and then we think about blue, the blue that appears to the mind thinking about it, you know, isn't as clear as the blue that appears to the eye consciousness directly perceiving it, isn't it?
개발 도움이도.
Is there a difference now? Huh?
Person. 언니 close eye when you think blue 가려통 것도
건미비 딸이 그래서 건미비 딸이
I was just joking. I was just telling Ken Rumshi that perhaps it's a sign of people not meditating. So if you meditate, it becomes very clear that the blue that you think about is not clear. Isn't
it?
So anyway, we will talk about this later. No? But anyway, you know, this topic about trying to see the difference between conception and non-conceptual consciousness is a very important one, but it's very challenging. You know, it is something that you have to take a lot of time thinking about to get a clarity. You know? Because as we mentioned before, a conceptual consciousness can only get at its object via the medium of a meaning generality or mental image, you know, right? Isn't it? A conceptual consciousness cannot perceive its object nakedly as it is. Nakedly, you know, bare, you know, it can't do it directly. It has to go through a medium of a mental image, unlike direct perception, isn't it? Right?
Good morning.
I think she's maybe trying to tell some people to wake up. You know?
That one is pat. Yeah? That one is Patricia Pat.
So when we close our eyes and think about blue, when we think about blue, in order for the concept of blue to arise, you know, when you think about blue, the appearance of blue has to come first, isn't it? Right? When you think about blue, there has to be an appearance before then, you conceive blue, yeah?
Right?
Yeah, it is. So, in order to when you conceive of blue, first the appearance of blue has to arise before the mind is able to put attention. The concept, the thought is able to put attention on blue, able to engage blue. Yeah. Right.
What day? What? 내가 나신 태도원이 지 똑바랐나요? 아, 문벌 나면 나와 세지운 거 그래. 다 뒤안고 문보이 내지 요래 야 문보 맹게지 요등이지 근데 똑바랐나요 문보 나면 나와테라 야 고 문보이 게 요래 야 문보 맹게 요래 니게 차이가지
So this appearance as blue to the thought consciousness, to the conceptual consciousness perceiving blue, right? This appearance as blue to the conceptual consciousness apprehending blue consists of two parts. One part of it is blue, one part of it is not blue, is non-blue.
What did they say? Okay, we stop there, okay? We don't go so much. Otherwise, it becomes blue. After all, it becomes blue then. Okay, so what does it mean? Tinema, the Eugene says that Kazan, Eugene shared the latter chicken, Eugene's do tell an issue, Kansa. Mother, the law Kansa, some star, law Kansa, stop that in the summing thing.
So, anyway, on page one of the handout, given up and handout of today, yeah. So there are these, there are the three object possessors listed there, right? The three divisions: person, awareness, and expressive sound.
What to say? That this is the color that Chitan Kasore, that Kansa, that Kansa de Eugene, that Loya Eugene, that Dai Eugene is that to say in the question.
So a person is an object possessor, awareness is an object possessor, expressive sound is an object possessor. They are all object possessors because they possess their respective objects.
Yeah.
So you see there's the definition of person is listed there, right? So what is the definition of person or kangsa in Tibetan? Yeah? A being imputed independence upon any of its five aggregates. That is the definition of person. Yeah. And the illustration of a person is a being who possesses a basis of one of the three realms. So the definition of a person is a being imputed independence upon any of his five aggregates. It doesn't say independence upon all five aggregates, right? Isn't it? Yeah. Okay. So yeah, if it's a person, it is a being imputed independence upon any of its five aggregates. Yeah. So a person is not necessarily a being that is imputed independence upon the five aggregates. Yeah. A person is not necessarily a being imputed independence upon the five aggregates. Therefore, the definition of a person is a being imputed independence upon any of its five aggregates. That's the reason for saying any there. Why? Why a person is not a being imputed independence upon the five aggregates?
Oh, that's the condition to us, not since she's hiding.
신시라 컴슴 강롱기 딘징 기보다우스 라 컴슴 딘징이다 컴슴 딘징이다 기보간가 강사래 신시시하기도 와.
So by looking at the illustration given, one will be able to understand. Yeah. So the illustration of a person that's given here is a being who possesses a basis of one of the three realms. Yeah.
Oh, today's into gana that kam sum sedi sukam dokam sukam sume kam sune kam sum dok sune zai bare. That is into gana. 다 숨에 감 수도 가 숨에 감나 숨에 바래 숨에 바래서 수지 풍부 세디 샤이 내 바래 제가 풍부 심하 심어도 내 바래 봐.
So the illustration of a person that is given here is a being who possesses a basis of one of the three realms. The three realms are the desire realm, form and formless realm. So for beings of the formless realm, you can't posit a form aggregate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the formless realm, there is no form. So you can't posit a form aggregate. Therefore, a being, a person of the formless realm, can only be a being that is imputed independence upon the remaining four aggregates, isn't it? Out of the five, when you take out form aggregate, you only have four left, right? Okay, so self, I, person, being, same. They are one. The same, yeah, right?
Any not agree than us, huh?
For the all the lower schools, they assert the person to be either a subtle consciousness, mind basis of all, and whatnot. It seems to me that then person is consciousness for the all these lower schools. Would there be a contradiction for them being classified as non-associated composed factor and being imputed independence on the five aggregates?
Okay, you got the question, yeah? The answer is this, yeah. the definition of a person here, a being that is imputed, a being imputed in dependence upon any of these five aggregates, this is something that is shared by all the tenets here. So, yeah, so this is how all the Buddhist tenets would identify a person, yeah. So to them, a person is there, what you see here, a being that is imputed independence upon any of his five aggregates. Of course, but then, you know, if you look at the respective tenets, assertions, and as to what exactly the person is, you know, to look at what they posit to be an illustration of person, then there are different illustrations that are posited by the different tenets. Yeah, many of them assert that the illustration of person is consciousness. Yeah, yeah, because for vast majority of the tenets, they believe that, you know, the imputed object, when sought after, can be found. You see, has to be found. So for a lot of them, they give the consciousness as the illustration of person, yeah. Which means to say, person is consciousness. If that's the case, the person cannot be a non-associated compositional factor, right? Right? So then how should we look at this, the definition of the person that's given here, yeah? You could say that this is the general procedure of all the tenets. One could also look at it as being the actual way in which a person exists. So yeah, for the tenets, I mean, for those tenets who assert that who posit the illustration of person to be consciousness, then for those tenets, then you have to say that person is consciousness.
Maybe something like that. You still can think. Huh? You clear? Oh no.
So this will be covered in more detail in the future, yeah. There's no way to understand all of this right now, because if you think about what a person is, you know, this is who. Team, okay. That's, you know, because you have, you know, in order to understand what person is, then you really have to understand, you know, the assertions of the different or the various Buddhist philosophical systems, yeah, tenets, yeah.
Oh, 남셰 나네 다 남셰 망부 있네 이게 남셰 아 이게 남셰 말에 고시 남셰 됐어 다 진대기 다 곧도 반다 내려서 다 진조 강가다 미직 받다 집에 가체 타도나 다 다시 통발 때문에 답에 맞잠 세 데미지 시작 그래 쓰니다 타기를 놀라 진대 시대나 파괴나시
So depending on the tenets system in question, yeah, the illustration of the person will be different. Yeah. Some assert that the person to be the body. Yeah. Yeah. Many others assert the person to be the consciousness. And within consciousness, the different types of consciousness, it is the mental consciousness. What is exactly is the person? You know, most people will think, oh, it's the mind, isn't it? The mental consciousness, yeah. Whereas, then there's one particular school which says that it is not the mental consciousness, but it has to be something different, you know, what we call the mind basis of all. But all of these assertions are not the final view. Because through using reason to negate all these lower assertions, then you arrive at the assertion of the higher school, the consequence middle way school. And for them, the person is a non-associated compositional factor. A person is that which is the I, or what is the person of I? That which is merely imputed in dependence upon the aggregates. Yeah. So we just go to page 2 lah. All those things that we discuss, akadantang, you have to buy ticket next module. Okay, awareness is divided into awareness can be divided into valid cognizer and non-valid awareness. Yeah.
Okay,
so awareness can be divided into a valid cognizer and non-valid awareness. So what is a valid cognizer? Yeah. What is valid cognition? So, the definition of a valid cognizer is given there. Yeah, what is it? It is a new, incontrovertible knower.
That one, that he calls it, na, 참아 생각들라, 다 제조 본 것이 참아 임발라, 제조 숨 참고도, 아, 사도 임바, 미로아 임바, 어디가 임바, 제조 숨 참고.
So in order for an awareness to be a valid cognizer, three features must be present. What are the three features? New, incontrovertible or infallible, and knower. If an awareness possesses these three features, then that awareness is a valid cognizer.
Mm. 다 돈다 다 티레 다 밀어와 세대 돈다 티마 다 밀어와 세대 유디 셰바스다 로바 유기 내주 간대이 바디 셰바들라 다 밀어와 세시다
So incontrovertible basically means knowing the object as it is. Incontrovertible means, or infallible, incontrovertible means knowing the object as it is.
Oh, tindashini, that on the karasana, that sama stugana, that pejenta, that ranjuba mencheki, that ranjuba mencheki, so the ranjuba tudur, ranjuba mencheki, that semen, semishaba, pejin chipachaka.
So this definition of a valid cognizer, a new incontrovertible knower, this definition is accepted by vast majority of the tenets, yeah? Starting basically from the autonomy middle way school and the tenets below it, yeah. So the autonomy middle way school and all the tenets below it assert that in order for an awareness to be a valid cognizer, it has to be new. So it only refers to the initial, the first moment of realizing that object, yeah. Okay. It has to be new.
Oh, 특신에 드네마 다 타규베 다 조카스나 다 당보자와시다 당보자와시 구비가 말했어. 로아 유디 다 시다와시 시바이나 다 다가람 참아차그랬어. 다 당보 똑바지 고구 말했어. 특신에 숭했다.
The consequence middle way school, on the other hand, asserts that as long as the awareness realizes its object, it is a valid cognizer. Yeah, a valid cognizer is not restricted to just the very initial first moment of realizing that object. Yeah. Okay, ah. Then you see just after the definition of a valid cognizer, you have new, incontrovertible, and knower, yeah. They eliminate something, yeah. Yeah, they each eliminate something, isn't it? So what new eliminates that subsequent cognizers are valid cognizers. Incontrovertible eliminates that correctly assuming consciousnesses are valid cognizer. Knower eliminates that physical sense powers are valid cognizers. Yeah. But in order to really understand what it means, what these three different things here, what they mean, then you really have to first understand what on earth is a, for example, a subsequent cognizer. You have to understand what exactly is a correctly assuming consciousness, yeah, which will come later, right?
What do you mean? That the name that Simin said that on the Chamamaimba said to what that Chamamaimba said it that Chamalishim look on that Chamamaimba Chagor, Chesa Sadu Milu, Ripa, that Simin Singi Shabainta, that Simi Lu Singi Sadu, Sadu Milo, Maimbe Ripas.
Okay, so all other minds. All other awarenesses that are not valid cognizers are non-valid awarenesses. Yeah. So if the definition of a valid cognizer is a new incontrovertible knower, Then the non-valid awareness is a a knower that is not a knower that is not new and incontrovertible. Yes, it's basically just the that which is not a valid cognizer. So the linear mind.
어떻게네 디네마 다 참아서야 야보나서야 참아서도 가나 야보야 우리끼리 이용하지 참아서야 되라 야 무슨 참아 예수법에 참아서 야보 참아라야 나서 이용되겠지.
So there are two types of valid cognizer. So these are the two divisions of valid cognizer. What are they? They are the direct valid cognizer and an inferential valid cognizer. Yeah. Okay, then on page 3, you have the definition of a direct valid cognizer. Yeah. So what is a direct valid cognizer? It is a new incontrovertible knower that is free of conceptuality, which means a direct valid cognizer is necessarily non-conceptual. Yeah. So a direct valid cognizer is a valid cognizer, but that's not sufficient. It is a valid cognizer, and it at the same time, it is free of conceptuality. Yeah. Okay, you have next the other valid cognizer. The other valid cognizer is an inferential valid cognizer, which is a new incontrovertible determinative knower that is directly produced in dependence on a correct sign, which is its basis. Yeah.
Patish to gala, ta sama yenge, ta tokpa yenge di, ta jawa sama sae, rwa, tokpe ngorgiwe sama yenge siya rwa, ta di,
okay, so a valid cognizer that is conceptual in nature is a inferential valid cognizer.
Okay,
So just to give it the example, or the example, the classic example that comes up in the text here. There's a mind that realizes that there is a fire, there's a thought, thinking there's a fire in that mountain pass. There's a thought, thinking there's a fire in the mountain pass. But you don't see the fire directly. But you realize there is a fire in the mountain pass. Why? Independence upon seeing smoke. You don't see the fire, you see smoke. Independence on seeing smoke as the reason, you realize, oh, there's a fire in the mountain pass, right? Isn't it? So this thought, realizing there's a fire in the mountain pass, independence upon seeing smoke, is an example of a inferential valid cognizer. So, okay, so this thought that which thinks, oh, there's a fire in the mountain pass upon seeing smoke, yeah. This is an example of an inferential valid cognizer. So this inferential valid cognizer is not a direct, it's not direct perceiver, yeah. It's not direct perception, isn't it? It is conceptual thought. It is conceptual thought, right? Isn't it? But it does realize fire. It does get a fire. But it doesn't realize, it does not perceive fire nakedly. It gets at fire via a mental image of fire, or the meaning generality of fire, yeah.
That tells that on the Jabba Tamasana, that on the dead of the sea. That in a ma, Jessie, that among that to Madame Timidor, that doesn't talk very fast, and that Jessie.
Okay, so that example is kind of, and it gives you kind of some idea of what an inferential valid cognizer is, yeah. Do you? You see someone very fat, then, oh, they don't definitely eat a lot. That kind of thing, I know. I'm just joking. Next one is a subsequent cognizer. Subsequent cognizer. What a subsequent cognizer is? A knower which realizes what has already been realized. Okay, a subsequent cognizer is a knower which realizes what has already been realized, yeah. So it realizes what has already been realized. By what? It realizes what has already been realized earlier by a valid cognizer. So, a subsequent cognizer does not realize, it does not refer to the first moment or the initial comprehension of that object, isn't it? Yeah. It is just realizing what has already been realized earlier by a Vedic cognizer. So, it's like the subsequent realization of the same object. Yeah. So a subsequent cognizer is not a valid cognizer because it is not the initial comprehension of the object. Yeah, it is rather a knower that realizes something that has really been realized, and therefore it is not new. Yeah, it's not initial comprehension of the object, and therefore it is not a valid cognizer.
tato ta tire ta.
Hello?
Ah?
You still
alive?
Huh? We need another bird to call, I think.
Huh? Different hall? Okay. That's it. That's it. The Nana Maneva said, that thing is a dual, Rangi Judy, and the Sala Nashi Rangi Judy, and Sala Nepa, Jamie Nopa, and Bishitimber. You request that.
Okay, then you have the awareness to which an object appears and is not ascertained. Yeah? Okay? The awareness to which an object appears and is not ascertained is what it is there in the box. It's a very long. Yeah? A knower that is a common locus of having clear appearance of the specifically characterized phenomenon which is its object of engagement and being unable to induce ascertainment with respect to the specifically characterized phenomenon which is its object of operation. So let me just give you an example of an awareness to which an object appears but is not ascertained, an AAA basically. I think I'll just stick to AAA, how about? It's easier. Otherwise, quite a mouthful. So imagine, let's say, you know, your mind is completely engrossed in something. You know, due to attachment, your mind is completely, you know, engrossed in a particular object. Or let's say, if you are mad with someone, or you just, you know, just concentrating on that. Yeah. So at that time, during that time, when you are either very mad or very engrossed with a particular object, your mind is completely absorbed in it. A visible form can appear to your eye consciousness, isn't it? A sound can appear to your ear consciousness, isn't it? While they appear, but you didn't ascertain what appeared to your eye consciousness, for example. You didn't ascertain what sound fell onto your ears, yeah. Right?
So when my mom watched TV, some kind of Indian serial, and she liked so much when she watched the TV, you know. She's totally focused on the TV. So even somebody walked in front of her, nothing distract her. Okay? If somebody say, okay, she's here, but she not here, but I don't know. Even somebody walk in front, she don't. So that is AAA. Yeah, not all kind of TV she like, but one part of serial, the Indian family drama or something like that, I don't know. Maybe like Chinese also have, yeah, some people like so much to follow, you know, the Korean drama. One after, you know, what will come the next. So my mother liked this so much. So I noticed when she was there, so nothing can disturb her. So what to say? Then my dad is just that Ranula Louis Sherry 20th, that is just in some score.
Okay, then you have a correctly assuming consciousness, yeah. Correctly assuming consciousness, yeah. It is a factually concordant, determinative knower, which is controvertible with regard to determining its object. So an example of a correctly assuming consciousness is like this, yeah. There's this person who hasn't realized impermanence. Let's say hasn't realized the impermanence of sound. But this person is convinced or firmly believes that sound is impermanent, although maybe without any reason or what have you. But basically, he hasn't really realized that sound is impermanent, but just believes, you know, firmly believes, thinks that he firmly believes, oh yes, sound is impermanent. So this is an example of a correctly assuming consciousness. Yeah. So a correctly assuming consciousness is necessarily a conceptual consciousness. So a doubting consciousness is a knower which has qualms too pointedly by its own power.
So
So example would be a mind which thinks, is on the mind which wonders, is sound impermanent or permanent? So doubting consciousness is necessarily a conceptual consciousness. So then you have a wrong consciousness, which is a knower, which engages its object erroneously. So an illustration of wrong consciousness is a mind which firmly believes that sound is permanent, for example. Yeah. Sound is, you know, a mind which firmly believes, you know, sound is permanent. So this is an example of a wrong consciousness. So this is the sevenfold division of consciousness, and what we have just gone through is basically just going through the list, you know, just looking at the enumeration of, yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay, that's it. All done. Yeah. Oh, Tokshimi, that Tinema, that Jabu Chata Shugu Shiva Dilata, Mototak.
So on page 4, there's a table there that looks at these sevenfold division of consciousness in terms of whether they are valid cognizers or non-valid awarenesses, in terms of whether they are knowers that realize their objects or knowers that do not realize their object, in terms of whether they are factually concordant consciousness or they are factually discordant consciousness, in terms of whether they are conceptual or non-conceptual, in terms of whether they are mistaken or non-mistaken. Yeah.
Okay.
In order to be able to figure out what's on page 4, one must first memorize the sevenfold division of consciousness together with their definitions. You have to know these consciousnesses individually, what they are. Then, on the basis of knowing what they are by memorizing the definitions, then you're able to figure out, you know, whether each of these consciousnesses are valid or non-valid, mistaken or non-mistaken, and conception and non-conception, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So you, all this can only come on the basis of memorizing the division and the definition.
What 전시기 마교바 전시석 통통이야. 아? 저다다. 전시 전시단 전이 직낭신 되네. 아니 로라 나시. 요 전시단 전 직받지 장도시 나시. 로. 직낭신 나시 아니 유라 주게시. 저다다 고 똑바건가 딘데 죽당 딘데서 똑바라 최신 비잡스. 어떻게 쓰기하래.
Let's now turn our attention back to conceptual consciousness. Yeah. So this is not in the notes. Yeah. So I believe we've seen earlier that if it is a conceptual consciousness, it is necessarily mistaken. Yeah. So this is something you have to understand. Conceptual consciousnesses are necessarily mistaken. Why? In the previous lesson, remember, I said that a conceptual consciousness is also a conventional awareness. Why is it a conventional awareness? Because it is obscured from seeing the actual object nakedly. It can only get at its object via a meaning generality of that object. Yeah. But what appears to the conceptual consciousness apprehending its object? What appears is the actual object and the meaning generality of the object or the mental image of the object mix and appearing as if they were the same. And through such an appearance, then, you know, the conceptual consciousness then gets at what it is comprehending. Yeah. Bole?
Nah, lihat mana sih le. Tapi musim tanang itu tinggi sekali tu, langit naik le tu lebih cepat sih asyik. Musim tanang itu tinggi, tapi nak cuci tinggi seni juga. Jangan tak topa kanga, tak musim tanang cakap ya le, tak cuci cakap ya le. Kalau sih langit naik le tu lebih cepat le, sahaja tanda tiada sama dengan le.
So a conceptual consciousness is necessarily a mistaken consciousness, yeah. Okay, right? It is mistaken, yeah, because. It is mistaken with regard to its appearing object, right? Isn't it? The actual object and the meaning generality of the object or the mental image of the object appear mix and appear as one, right? So, therefore, it is a mistaken consciousness. It is a consciousness that is mistaken with regard to its appearing object. So, on page 3, at the bottom of page 3, it says that it gives you the definition of what a facsimile of a direct perceiver is. Yeah. The facsimile of a direct perceiver is a knower that is mistaken with regards to his appearing object. And the facsimile of a direct perceiver is, and mistaken consciousness are mutually inclusive. Yeah. So basically, a mistaken consciousness is also necessarily a knower that is mistaken with regards to his appearing object.
Oh, Toshine, that Tindeshine, Tayan, Tier Samadanshi, Pena Mosuma, Nine Dogala, Tamosum, the Nay Chaguyore. In a topala, now Ganga, Yatope Nay Chatuyamare.
So, whatever appears to a direct perceiver is the appearing object of the direct perceiver. Okay? But whatever appears to a conceptual consciousness apprehending it is not necessarily the appearing object of that conceptual consciousness. Whatever appears to a direct perceiver is necessarily the appearing object of that direct perceiver. However, whatever appears to a conceptual consciousness apprehending it is not necessarily the appearing object of that conceptual consciousness. For example, conceptual consciousness apprehending blue. Does blue appear to a conceptual consciousness apprehending blue? Yes, it appears. But blue is not its appearing object.
어떠시네. 딱인데 원진 똑바디기 원봉오스 원봉나위기 전에 가르치는 원봉오스 똑바래서 원봉오스 똑바인장 원봉낭식거래 원봉오스 똑바디 원봉나위권의 똑바인장 원봉오스 똑바래서 제가 원봉낭식거래.
Okay. A conceptual consciousness. Aiyah, you just think of blue lah. Yo, the face don't so 凄惨 like that. 공간이 저 이제 blue 다 you think of blue, okay? Blue is not the appearing object to a conceptual consciousness apprehending blue, yeah. But blue appears. Why do we say blue appears? The reason why we say blue appears to that conceptual consciousness apprehending blue is because conceptual consciousness apprehending blue explicitly realizes blue. Because it explicitly realizes blue, therefore we say that blue appears to the conceptual consciousness. Apprehending it, yeah. Because conceptual consciousness apprehending blue can only explicitly realize blue through blue appearing to it. I mean, blue don't appear, then you realize what?
다 전에 다 개체지라 다 분바 맞아 원보디 원진 똑바라 남게 열때 다 원진 똑바 나이 많이 배긴다 가르래서 다 삼보시 당과.
So the thing that we need to think about is why blue is not the appearing object of a conceptual consciousness apprehending blue, although it appears to it. That's the question we need to think about, yeah. Let's think of a pot now, a pot or a vase. Or blue also can, anyway, anything. To a conceptual consciousness apprehending blue, the actual object, all the nature, the entity of the actual object blue, does not appear to the conceptual consciousness apprehending blue. I repeat again, to a conceptual consciousness apprehending blue, the actual object blue, to get, you know, does not appear with all its complete characteristics to the conceptual consciousness apprehending it. So to the conceptual consciousness apprehending it, let's say if it's apprehending blue, the complete entity of blue does not appear to the conceptual consciousness apprehending it. So like I said earlier about the difference between a specifically characterized phenomenon and a generally characterized phenomenon. A specifically characterized phenomenon is basically an phenomenon that can cast an aspect of itself fully together with all its characteristics, you know. Yeah, and it can appear with its, all its characteristics only to a direct perceiver, not to a conceptual consciousness. Yeah.
Oh, 진상 다 디스도가나 분배 모든이 똑발랐다 차단하지 차트고요 말해.
So therefore, all the essential characteristics, no, of every essential characteristics, everything that is part of blue, that is blue, not everything can appear to the conceptual consciousness apprehending it. So therefore, while blue does appear to the conceptual consciousness apprehending it, it is not the appearing object of the conceptual consciousness apprehending it. So remember, if it is the appearing object of a conceptual consciousness, it is necessarily permanent. You have to memorize, right? It's necessarily permanent, yeah. And in this context, it has to be a mental image, a meaning generality of the object, yeah.
Okay, that is it. Okay, now question, answer, okay.
So, on page 3, if you look at the definition of a correctly assuming consciousness, how do we know that a correctly assuming consciousness is conceptual? How do we know that it is a conceptual consciousness? The clue is in the word determining. So you remember in the previous handout, in the previous lesson, when we looked at the objects, you know, we talked about appearing object, object of engagement, and conceived object or determined object, isn't it? And we said that determined object does not exist for direct perceivers. You know, we only talk about determined objects for conceptual consciousnesses, yeah, right? Okay, so there are subsequent cognizers, there are conceptual consciousnesses. There are subsequent cognizers, there are non-conceptual consciousnesses, okay? So a correctly assuming consciousness is necessarily conceptual consciousness. An awareness to which an object appears and is not ascertained is necessarily non-conceptual consciousness. A doubting consciousness is necessarily a conceptual consciousness. And a wrong consciousness can be either conceptual or non-conceptual.
So
So yeah, we will, you know, look at the definitions and then, you know, and then use that to study the what is included here on page 4 in the table, yeah. And then slowly, you know, then it all becomes clear.
Yeah, now question. Okay.
Okay, number J, in lesson 4, it was mentioned that in Abhidhamma, the size of the eye sense power is posited to be the size of a raisin. Now, if it is the size of a raisin, it cannot be the entire retina. Because the entire retina covers about 70% of the inner side of the eyeball. So I think if it's the size of the raisin, it could be the macula. Macula is situated in the center of the retina. It is about 5 to 6 millimeters in diameter and is oval shaped. And in the middle of the macula, there's a fovea, or we call fovea centralis, where there's a high content.
Does it matter, I wonder?
No. I mean, I'm just casting some light yeah. because I'm interested yeah. in eye. I'm eye trained. Yeah. So I'm just giving some of my knowledge yeah. about eye to you. Whether you all want to listen, if you all want to listen, I will just
Good, leave it at the mic.
Okay. And the macula, as I mentioned before, it has a very high concentration of pigmented, or we call yellow spot. So that is the part where a lot of cone cells situated. Mm. Cone cells absorb a lot of light color. That's why when light enters through the retina, through the pupil to the retina, it normally focuses on the macular area. And it gives you a very sharp, clear vision and color vision as well. That's why normally we say the fovea or the macula give you the sharpest, most acute visual acuity. So in my opinion, it could be the macula that is the eye sense power.
Bye bye. Joking.
Karen Boucher, I'm sorry. I think tonight I got more confused.
Good. More confused.
Actually, I
when
thought.
When you're confused, you're more getting intelligent.
Okay. You're
not confused, you don't learn anything. Yeah. Good.
Okay. I thought I understood the appearing object of mental consciousness is clearly, you know, the mental image of whatever object it tries to perceive. But tonight, when you say that what the conceptual consciousness is trying to, the object of a conceptual consciousness is something that is blue, and then one part, and something that is not blue. So it seems to me, these statements.
What?
I think that, was that a translation?
Yeah, I'm more confused now.
Okay, I heard just now.
It's quite a feat to confuse Geshe Larambha, you know.
I don't know whether maybe it was my memory, okay, but what I understood tonight is like the mental image of, okay, what a conceptual consciousness, the object of, the appearing object.
No, we didn't say that.
We did not say
appearing object. We say what appears to a conceptual consciousness. We did not say necessarily is an appearing object.
Okay, because last lesson, I came to a conclusion that the blue does not appear to the conceptual consciousness because conceptual consciousness can only realize blue by a mental image. But tonight I heard differently. It says that blue does appear to the conceptual consciousness. So which is which? So it seems to me like what conceptual consciousness realize is something that is blue, which is a functioning thing, and something which is a permanent phenomena, which is a mental image of blue.
No, no, what you want to find out what is appearing or what it is appearing object or what it is realizing. What are you trying to find out?
So when you say that what is appearing to blue, isn't it then appearing object of blue?
No, you already say very clearly whatever appears is not necessarily the appearing object of the consciousness, yeah?
I see. Okay. Whatever appear to the consciousness is not necessarily the appearing object of the consciousness.
Okay,
let's talk about blue. So you think about blue, yeah? Mm-hmm. In layman's English, we say we think about blue. But in technical language, we say conceptual consciousness apprehending blue. What does it realize? It explicitly realizes blue, yeah? Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Explicitly realizes blue. When you think about blue, you're realizing blue,
why
yeah?
Why is the English word explicitly here trying to point to, actually?
That it is not implicit.
It seems to give the meaning direct, right? I don't know.
It explicitly realizes blue, and it implicitly realizes the opposite from non-blue.
Through elimination, right?
Yeah. It explicitly realizes blue, mm-hmm. and implicitly it realizes opposite from non-blue.
So it is trying to say that it is
eliminating.
When a consciousness engages in its object, when it realizes its object, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's only realizing it explicitly. It's also realizing something about the object implicitly.
Which is not the object by eliminating the object, is it?
So if number
shall
So what is the meaning of realizing a consciousness realizing an object explicitly? You know? When it realizes its object via the appearing of the aspect of the object to the consciousness. That is the meaning of explicitly realizing. Number one is shell. So there's no problem in saying that blue appears to the conceptual consciousness apprehending blue. No problem. Blue appears to the conceptual consciousness apprehending blue. But whatever appears to the conceptual consciousness apprehending blue doesn't necessarily have to be blue, yeah. So, to a conceptual consciousness apprehending blue, it's not necessarily that whatever appears is blue, but it doesn't mean that blue cannot appear also.
So, it's something like the blue does appear to the conceptual consciousness, but the conceptual consciousness does not realize its appearances? The object can appear, but you don't realize. So you are saying that the
and
conceptual consciousness apprehending blue is apprehending what?
Well, I understand.
It is explicitly realizing blue, isn't it?
Yes.
Right? It's getting a blue, right?
Yes.
When you think of blue now, you're not thinking of ham sandwich, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Blue, yeah? Mm-hmm. So it's explicitly realizing blue, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So it realizes blue.
But it realizes blue as a permanent phenomenon, right?
Huh?
No. I think I need to think about it. That means what? The appearing object?
Sit down. Confused.
I think about it.
Yeah, next. Oh, yeah, okay.
Can I put it? For conceptual consciousness and direct perceiver, must we already understand the object? Because we are talking about blue, for example. Say, let a baby doesn't know what is blue, but he or she perceive and see that as a blue. Is that also a direct perceiver? Same for us. If let's say we contact something first time, I don't even know what is that, and I can have a conceptual conscious image on that, but I don't know what is that. Do I need to know something before I can conclude that I'm a direct perceiver and that is a conceptual consciousness?
What's the first one? One question?
It's only one question. Do I need to understand the object before I'm being termed as a direct perceiver, or that mental image becomes a conceptual consciousness to me? Do I need to know the object? Like blue, if let's say I don't know what is blue, can that be a conceptual consciousness to me, even if I imagine something of that sort?
So can you realize blue without knowing that it's called blue?
That's
whether
my question,
whether you're looking at it or whether you're thinking about it.
Yeah, that's my question. Yeah. Like a baby, if let's say they look at something like an iPad, the baby can just probably even
now we think of iPhone
because
5.
Because iPhone.
Now we think of iPhone 5, for example.
But it's something fictitious. In that sense, it's but something real, when a baby touches something, probably he can also have a mental image. Is the baby also, like, in that sense, termed as like a direct perceiver and then having that image as a conceptual consciousness? Do we need to understand before we term that? Yeah.
Tati,
So there is a conceptual consciousness that apprehends only a sound generality. There is a conceptual consciousness that apprehends only a meaning generality. There is also a conceptual consciousness that apprehend both the sound and meaning generality.
That 다시 봉봉하고 강로나 때네 답이 기부세지. 다들 강사세 당에대 하면 그냥 강사기 주기. 다 다시 봉봉으로 강로 때네 답이 기부점 또배 로징으로 또빠징으로. 딜라다 둔지장버 좀 똑같세지. 고칼세나 다단 퇴니 님도 전이 다 증기하면. 다 둔지 퇴니 기부신시다. 둔지장버 좀 똑같세지.
So let's give an example of a conceptual consciousness apprehending only a meaning generality. Let's say there's somebody who realizes, you know, or who realizes a being imputed independence upon any of its five aggregates. Somebody realizes this, but does not know that this is called person. You know? Oh, a being, merely realizing that, oh, a being imputed independence upon any of his five aggregates. There's a thought realizing this only, but not knowing that that is called person. So this mind? This person realizes person, yeah. But has not associated the meaning with the term person yet, isn't it?
Do you want?
Then there's a person who doesn't know what is the meaning of. There's a person who doesn't know the meaning of a person, but who hears the term, the expression person, just hear the words person and apprehends the term. So there is such a thought, right? Apprehending person, yeah, but without knowing what person really is, which is the definition, right? So that mind is a conceptual consciousness apprehending only a sound generality.
对不？哦，他可是呢，他康萨是他康萨的天然性康萨是的天然性，你看心里的，他康萨怎么？他那些不忙哦，康萨天然的比几部的康萨的，他怎么多巴的啊？可是说的，对。嗯，可是说的，他那天尼嘎，他怎么多巴？他那天尼嘎怎么多巴？他怎么这个？
So then, a person who realizes that a being imputed independence upon any of his five aggregates is a person, is someone that mind is a conceptual consciousness that apprehends a sound generality and meaning generality together. Yeah, 뭐래?
他听这个，他个他读把语了，他读的他读把语就读很多听的有木多啊。但一呢，他听那呢，他当我是什么单的？我写个读把他看了没？康萨个读把教他嘛就也木是什么单个？康萨个读什么了？康萨的他一个写不起，读把就读，一个写不起读，后头么的这样什么单？我写个读把怎么的？康萨个读把的拉土边的呢？是吧？这样什么单的？
So we need to think about whether something that is realized by, you know, if your sense consciousness realizes something, does it necessarily mean that your mental consciousness, you know, also realizes it?
We do next time.
Others confused.
Munsum. Okay, so yeah, you have the handout, right? Okay, so just read and think about it, yeah. Okay, and then you see if you have any questions. Yeah, you can bring it up next time. All right. Okay, we'll finish off with the usual prayers. Okay, so.